All right, so Mike wrote this 16 years ago. It's the Peace Offering Part One. And we'll get right into it. It's been an incredible blessing to go over. And these are things that we know, but these are so foundational that they serve to strengthen every other study we do. And we remember that all of these sacrifices, all these offerings represent Christ and what Christ is doing within us. So that's the simple answer. But now, when we break it apart and recognize how the peace offering in particular applies to the life of the body of Christ, it becomes very personal because it's our part. It's what Christ has given us to give to each other. So it's all done through Christ, but we're many members, we're one body, and Christ is nourishing us through each other. Through our trials that we just went through all that prayer list, and that's very much a part of this offering, our lives, and how the Lord will work in each of our lives to bring that peace and that healing through each joint that supplies with the life of Christ within us. So we start off with the of the herd, Leviticus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And all of those details are important, even the male and female. There's neither male nor female. Our life is a living sacrifice, each one of us to the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And we know Aaron's sons represent the elect. So this is a very special work that God's doing in the body of Christ today. This is the Lord's part. Leviticus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. So that's the Lord's part. The peace offering must be offered upon the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 5, and Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt offering, the sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Then of the flock, we read in Leviticus chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And we'll come to see that altar, of course, is the cross. And sprinkling the blood is speaking of the blood of Christ, the words that were sanctified through the word of Christ. And Aaron's sons are the ones doing this, identifying with the death of the animal, which is what we do. We're buried into Christ's death. So we identify with the life of Christ, but we also identify with his death, and all things are ours. The Lord's part of the flock. Leviticus chapter 3 now, the Lord's part of the flock, from verses 9 to 16 and then verse 17. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump, it shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. And the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it. There's that identifying with the death of the animal. Before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. Again, the sanctification process identifying with that process. And we'll see the verse later on. It's in the study. We have an altar that they can't serve. So the world doesn't understand these sacrifices. This is not even talked about in the churches. Very rarely do you hear Leviticus being talked about, the sacrifices, the all of these different law and offerings that we're going through. But we want to be able to really identify and understand the tremendous blessing that's set right before us to see how these things nourish us. What do they mean? What do they mean for us? Verse 14, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away. So we're talking about the Lord's part of the flock. And the priest, and this is interesting too. So why so much detail into what it is? Well, it's telling us really that every part of our life, all the inward struggles that we have, they all belong to the Lord. Everything that we're going through is his. It belongs to him. The priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. All the richness of our life, which we think is ours, as we mature in the Lord, we realize my whole life belongs to him. I'm a living sacrifice for good, for the good purpose of becoming a new creation. Verse 17, and it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, you that ye eat neither fat nor blood. That's verse 17. The priest part. Now, Leviticus chapter 7, verses 28 to 38. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offering unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. So this is the priest part. And the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. So this is the strength of our relationship in the Lord, and this is what God gives us. The sons of Aaron, meaning the elect, the body of Christ, they receive the breasts and they receive the right shoulder. In verse 33, he among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the waved breasts and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron and the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. So he gives it specifically to the priest. This is another way of saying we have an altar that they can't serve. We're nourished now first as first fruits, God willing, and given this privilege and honor to know Christ and to know the strength of Christ, which is what this is talking about. Verses 35 to 38. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons. Out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel, and the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. So it happens in the flesh, in the world, in the wilderness, but it's happening specifically the way God has ordained it for the body of Christ. So now we come to the offerer's part. This all leaves the left shoulder for the offerer. All partake of this offering. The Lord gets the inwards and the fat and the whole rump. The priest and his sons get the right shoulder and the heave breast. The offerer gets the left shoulder, the back, and ribs. And by this offering, all three parties are satisfied and nourished and strengthened. Leviticus 7, verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Leviticus 7, verse 19. And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. The offerer can share his peace offering. This is a very interesting point, with all that be clean. When the peace offering can be offered with leavened bread. Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 13. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. And if he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Leviticus 2, verse 11. No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. How interested are you in knowing about the peace offering? How interested you are is a reflection of how much you understand what Christ has accomplished in this offering. So we want that apprehension. We want to know it, because when you know it, you divide it rightly, it nourishes you. But if we can't discern it, then we ask the Lord, please, give us whatever it takes in our life so that our senses can be exercised to discern good and evil. Because with these offerings and the strength of Christ and the mind of Christ, we are coming to that point where they nourish us in regard to matters dealing with spiritual warfare that we're in. So we need to be strengthened. We need to understand these sacrifices, especially for that reason. God and the priests were partakers of both the burnt offering and the meat offering. But the offerer had no part in either of those offerings. Only in this offering does the offerer receive strength and nourishment. This peace offering is the least understood of the offerings. And yet, it is the one offering in which the offerer also is both strengthened and nourished. Keep in mind, we are that peace offering with Christ in us, and we nourish each other. And this is the point that's driven home in this study. To see ourselves as a living sacrifice is to understand that you are a peace offering for me, and I'm a peace offering for you. And so we rejoice in the fact that we have tribulation, we have trials, that strengthen us and bring us to the point where we can be a nourishing joint. Are you aware of how this offering is the one offering which is designed to strengthen and to nourish the offerer? Are you aware that it is this offering which gives you the strength and the nourishment to endure to the end? And that's just how important it is. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14. For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the one body, being many, are one body. Thus also is the Christ, his body, each joint. For in one spirit also we all are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, male or female, Galatians 3, verse 28, and all are made to imbibe one spirit. So at that day, Christ says, you'll know I'm in you and you are in me, and I'm in my Father. We are one spirit, one bread. And we're learning how the Lord is working in our lives so we can be nourishing each other. For the body also is not one member, but many. Are you satisfied with your part in the Christ? And it's okay to say no, because if you say no, that's the beginning of becoming satisfied in Christ, because he knows what you need before you even ask him. And this is a growing experience. We grow into our maturity, just like a teenager is not exactly happy with the discoordinated body that he has, but in time, it all makes sense, because when we mature and grow, we'll find that balance. That's true for the body of Christ. We're all at different levels, but the Lord is working it so that the strong support the weak, and we're growing and we're maturing and we're giving God the glory, because we know he can accomplish and finish what he started in us. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And think about that. Christ was growing in grace and knowledge. He was a child, he was a teenager, he was a 20-year-old. He grew in grace and knowledge, and he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And he took on all of those sacrifices upon himself so that we could do it now, of course. God was satisfied with Christ in his day of judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, it being in sinful flesh, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So our life, a living sacrifice, Ephesians 1, verse 6, is so because it is done through Christ. And that's how we are buried into his death and we're raised anew. We die daily. And that life is pleasing before God, because that's the only life that can be pleasing before God, is that life of Christ, which we cherish. Meaning what? Colossians 1, verse 24 to 29, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, his keeping those Levitical sacrifices, living them out in his life, in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So now we're filling up what's behind of his afflictions. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. Like I said earlier, the world does not know this. They do not make that connection and see how important these sacrifices are. But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So those sacrifices being fulfilled within us through Christ, that's a mystery. And that's something that's glorious, because Christ is working that work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, of the Father's good pleasure. We are his workmanship, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus in time. That is what will happen. And we have to be circumspect, but we do. We're ready to give an answer, and we live lives that are becoming the life of Christ if Christ is in us, and that is a witness to the world, whether they know it or not. In their day of visitation, God willing, if we've been used that way, the Lord is setting the stage through each one of our lives. Everyone we meet, there's no vain moment in our life if we understand that Christ is ruling in our heavens. He is writing the book. Wherefore, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And he says, Paul says in another place that our labors are not in vain. So that's the attitude to have. No, nothing's wasted. Nothing. Our mistakes, our successes, our weaknesses, God's working it all. John 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do we know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you? Our sense of acceptance, of our sense of communion with God, our sense of acceptance and our sense of communion with God depends on how deeply we accept Christ as being satisfactory and satisfying to his Father. And I love that sentence. So, do we recognize the value of the life of Christ, the sacrifice that he made? Because in our hearts, we know we don't believe in a 10-second sinner's prayer. But the minute we don't acknowledge the Lord and the life of Christ within us and within the body, then that's diminishing the relationship that we have. And we don't want to do that. We want to be understanding fully what the Lord is doing, being aware, especially now we're at the end of the age. We accept Christ as being satisfactory and satisfying to his Father. Through us, we say the Lord, the work that God is doing is satisfactory. The Father loves us. We are his friends. He sees us as a living sacrifice. We're accepted through Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ. Things are exactly as they should be for the body of Christ. If we see him as accepted, then we in him are accepted and satisfying and satisfactory to God. Though partaking of Christ, through partaking of Christ as the peace offering, we are nourished and strengthened in a way that takes us beyond fear of wrath, fear of our sins and trespasses, and gives us assurance of being in communion with both Christ and our Father in the Beloved. That's the tremendous altar that we share, that binds us together in love. Our spiritual strength depends upon our understanding of what Christ in this offering has accomplished in and through us, and our satisfaction of what Christ has accomplished in and through us depends upon our apprehension of this offering. So that's what we pray for. Lord, open our heavens. Help us to comprehend with all of the saints the length, the breadth, and the height of this mystery, which is hidden from the world, so we can be strengthened and we can strengthen each other. Are you still wondering if you are being saved? Are you still wondering if God is using you in any way? Like I said, if you are, that's good. That's the point of starting, and then we'll ask the Lord to make it clear in our heavens that we are being saved and we are his workmanship. If you are, then you have no understanding of what Christ has accomplished in this peace offering. You are not yet at peace with God. But that is the goal, and God can bring us to that place where we have peace that passes understanding. Because if we're trying to have peace in the Lord by our own strength, we won't have peace. But if we really acknowledge what the Lord can do through us, then the peace will come. And if it's a gift of God, we can't manufacture it. It's a gift. It's a mercy of God. This offering tells us that God is satisfied with Christ. When we take our part of this offering, when we take our part of this offering, we too are satisfied with Christ. And the priest's part in this offering tells us that Christ too is satisfied. In Christ the Father, his Son, our priest, is satisfied, and we too are satisfied and in communion with the other, one with the other. Why are all satisfied? Why are all nourished and strengthened? Because all partake of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 to 10, and Hebrews 13, verse 10. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. We can't manufacture these things through our flesh, is what that's telling us. It has to be a miraculous relationship. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice an offering you would not, but a body you have prepared me. And we are that body, if we are Christ's body. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, and that's another way of saying all of our days are written and numbered if we are Christ and we are here doing his will. And part of his will is that we will fall seven times. We will go through a process and we will hold each other up and we will repent and not despise the goodness of God that leads us unto repentance. That's all part of the book of the saints. Above, when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin, you would not, neither have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. And take away the law to establish the second, to live by the faith of Christ in the Spirit, where there's true liberty. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once for all. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Who are they which serve the tabernacle? Who is the church which is his body? Who is the great man's house with vessels of honor and dishonor? Galatians 4, verses 1 to right down to 31. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, and the Father has an appointed time to call, to choose, to drag us to the Son. John 6, verse 44 tells us that. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire to be in bondage? Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So just want to pause for a second here and read the 2 Peter 2:19. So what is this bondage? And Otto brings this up so often, and it's such an important section of scripture. It just caught my attention. It says in 2 Peter 2, verse 19, while this is they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. So that's the bondage he's talking about, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, understanding these offerings, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So just keeping those verses in mind, this sacrifice, if it is given to us, delivers us from that bondage, from the bondage of Babylon. You observe days, months, and times, and years. Where did I get to? I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So Paul is essentially saying, present your body a living sacrifice. I've done that for you through Christ. You do that. That's what you should do. We should do this together to be that peace offering. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid. Now we're talking about that bondage again. And that's why I brought the verse up in Peter. The other by a free woman. And we know that's Jerusalem above, the mother of us all, where our liberty lies. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, that speaking of in type and shadow of the elect, which things are a parable, they're an allegory, written for our sakes. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, again, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is Jerusalem below, in the earth, where it's sensual and devilish and corrupt, and where men want to bind us to their altar, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So we can see how these verses tie in so perfectly with this sacrifice of the peace offering, which is what Christ will set us free. If we're nourished by that, we will strengthen each other and remind each other who we are, like Paul is doing here. He's reminding the brethren, you're a living sacrifice. Christ died for you, and we're to die for each other and present ourselves a living sacrifice. For it is written, rejoice, you barren, and we are, because we are very few, but we know that we are like parents that are being prepared for the children that will be brought to us, the innumerable multitude that will be saved one day. For it is written, rejoice, you barren that bear not. Break forth and cry, you that travaileth not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so, and that's the type and shadow for us, even so it is now. We will be hated by all men for his name's sake. But with such a threatening thought, would God not provide us the strength and the power to endure unto the end? Yes, he will. How will he do it? Through the peace offering, through the body of Christ, through the prayers of the saints. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So inwardly we cast out those powers and principalities that are connected to this bondwoman, to Jerusalem, which is below. We overcome. We say no. We want to be cleaving unto Christ and be freed through the strength that he's going to show us through the body of Christ. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Are you the children of the free woman? That's a great question. If you're asking it, ask the Lord to strengthen you and to show you that you are the children. These are the children of the free woman. We've been called unto liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. He's the one who's giving us that liberty. Are you the children of the free woman? Whether you are the child of the bondwoman or the free woman depends upon our apprehension of the work of Christ in this peace offering. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And that's a beautiful imagery because it's the many parts that make up that house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that's part one of the peace offering. Thank you all for coming out.